It might not be everyone's cup of tea, but every winter, Lynette Bailey and her husband Greg Smith, they leave New Zealand and they head to Queensland, where they go 12 metres underground. The pair purchased a mining claim in 2013 and they hunt for precious gemstones such as sapphires. And Lynette's with us now. Kia ora, good evening, Lynette, as it's not that it's not that late over there, is it? What time is it there?
Well, we're actually in New Zealand at the moment because it's 40 degrees over there. So we've headed our way back over here for the moment.
Right.
So we're at 9:44.
Of course, every winter you go over there. And so, yeah, it would be way too hot. I was talking to someone who's just been on holiday in Queensland and they were able to go swimming at like 5 a.m. in the morning. So beautiful weather they're having over there at the moment.
The winters are the perfect weather for us because it sits around about the 22 to 24 degrees every day and it's dry weather, so it's just the perfect weather for us.
So how did you end up purchasing a mining claim in Queensland?
Yeah, so that's a real common question. So about 10 years ago, I came home from my corporate job one day and I thought, there's more to life than this. I've become a person I don't like being anymore. I'm the one that's saying negative comments, and that's just not me. My husband had been pushing for us to do something different for a few years. The kids had all left home, and we thought, why not? So me being a big risk-adverse person, it was like, okay, so how do we make it work? It's fine to pack up boot camp, move over there, but it was to house. So we decided we'd downsize. We didn't need a big house anymore. We didn't need the mortgage. We didn't need stuff anymore. So we downsized, checked in with the kids who had all left home, and packed up and went over there on an adventure. Didn't know what we were going to do. So we travelled and ended up on a cane farm.
On a cane farm?
Cane farm. Yeah. The guy asked my husband if he knew anything about growing cane, and he said, well, I know how to grow grass. Is it much different? And he said, well, I don't know. Here's a job on a cane farm. So we were managing the cane farm for about a year. And then my mother-in-law got sick, and we decided that it was time to come back home. So we thought, now's the time to do a bit of a lap. So we did about 3 months tiki touring around through Alice Springs up to the Gulf, up to Cape York, and then took the inland road back down to Brisbane to the airport. And on the way, we stopped at this funky little town called Emerald, Sapphire, which is just out of Emerald, and then visited a place called Ruby Vale, which is just out of Sapphire, next to a town called Anarchy. Gotta love Aussies. Gotta love the Aussies. And did the touristy thing, bought a bucket of wash, visited some people we met there, and just fell in love with the place. It's like the clock stopped 100 years ago. It's just back to basics, just glorious. And then came home, got back on the hamster wheel, got back jobs, got back into it all, and 6 months down the track, the mother-in-law, she came out of remission, and she said, what are you doing here? And we're like, don't know. So we packed up and went over there and bought three claims.
Wow.
And, yeah. So yeah, and
I was just going to say, how big is a claim? What does a claim mean?
So a claim is literally four white pegs in the ground, 30 metres square, so 30 by 30 by 30. So we've got three of them adjoining each other. Nobody can dig within our four magic white pegs. It's like you see in the movies. Everything on that land, on top of the land, is ours. So all the structures, the plant, all the equipment's ours. And we have the right to mine anything under the ground. So the Queensland government own the land and we lease it off them. So the mining claims are leases. And our one is an underground mine where you've got the big commercial mines. There's only a few of them where they can machine dig. There's a few open cut mines where people have claims the same size as us, but they're quite shallow, but they're exposed to all the weather when they're digging, and we choose to go 30, 40 feet underground, so 12 metres underground, and dig under there. And the weather is 22 degrees every single minute of the day, every day of the year. So it's just perfect weather.
Well, when you first got these three claims, you said, and it's 30 square metres? So,
yep.
So each one's like perhaps a very small apartment. So that's not a huge amount of area. It's not a huge area, is it, really? So
it's not a huge area. And so as good Kiwis, we thought one claim isn't enough. We'll dig that out, in a year, in 2 years, we're better by three. It's the same price as going over to Europe for a 6 weeks holiday. So we thought, oh, well, we'll do this. If we don't like it, we'll just sell it. But we will never dig out that amount of dirt, because if you think to dig by hand by a jackhammer, you're digging about, sorry, I'm talking old measurements here, about 8 feet high and about 8 feet across. That's a lot of digging in a day. So we will never, ever dig it out.
So there was nothing. It was just land. There was no tunnels or anything, no infrastructure there. It was just an actual plot of land, dirt.
No. When we first bought it, we did a lot of research. So we bought a place that had a start of the drives. They called them drives underground, and a bit of infrastructure on the top. So there was a shed that was pretty rustic. It's like a garden shed. It was very rustic, and a plant and a little bit of equipment, and we've built on that and developed that while we've been doing it to make it simpler for ourselves. So every year we go over there, we do maintenance is a big thing, just making life easier for you, making it more streamlined, making sure your equipment runs well, replacing out the old stuff, get in there and start digging.
So someone just texted me, I'll just quickly clarify this for everyone listening. Yeah. No, I think she said 30 by 30, which is 900 square metres. Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, correct, okay. Correct. Right. I understand. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's about the size of a normal half, quarter acre property, I guess.
Got
maybe
it.
Maybe a bit bigger than that.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Yeah. So you got that, and you how far down? I said 12 metres. Is that as far as you've dug since 2013, 12 metres down?
No, so we have a machine comes in and digs a shaft. So the machine comes in and just digs a big round hole in the ground. We go down that and then we start digging like rabbits do. You dig your tunnels and your drives. So you're chasing old riverbeds. So if you're thinking about volcanic activity that happened 50 to 100 million years ago, and then the layers and layers and layers of soil and events that have happened since. So the sapphires were formed 50 to 100 million years ago, and they come down in volcanic flows. So we are now down the 30 feet down our hole, and we're digging along chasing those seams. So we chase what the events that were happening all that time ago.
And it's rock.
Yeah, it's dirt and rock. It's a mixture of small rock and big ironstone boulders. So the stuff that we move is mainly a clay formation. So we'll dig the dirt off the walls, break it up into about fist-sized pieces with a hammer, shovel it into a wheelbarrow, and our wheelbarrows are a 75 litre wheelbarrow underground, and wheel that to a machine that will lift it up. And we do about 22 of those a day, depending how full they are.
You must be pretty fit.
For an old girl, I've got myself pretty fit.
Do you mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 58 now, so we've been doing it since I was 50.
Gee.
Yeah, so to put it in context, when we started there, the most physical activity I did was to drive to my office. I'd park right outside the door. I'd walk 20 or 30 metres to my desk with my laptop. I'd sit at my desk and then repeat that process going home. So when we started, I was broken. I probably lost 5-6 kilos within the first month. I slept until my husband woke me up. I'd come in, I'd sit on the couch, I'd fall asleep, he would wake me up and feed me, he'd wake me up and tell me to go down and have a shower and wake me up and go to bed. I barely functioned, and but now I'm pretty fit. So yeah, so we dig it, shovel it, move it. The more dirt you move, the luckier you get.
Yeah, how lucky have you been? Have you found anything in there?
We find sapphires every day. Pretty much. I think for the 8 years we've been doing it, there's been about 5 days we haven't found a sapphire, but we shift a lot of dirt. I mean, we're shifting 2 ton by hand pretty much each day that we dig. So it's not all gem quality. So you get sapphires and the Queensland zircon and a few other little bits and pieces, but we would get those sorts of stone every day because we know what we're looking for, we know what we're chasing, and we know the process now.
So what are you looking for? When is it come out in a rock form, but you think, can you see a sapphire in it?
Not when we're digging. Some people can. Some people have got a really good eye for it. For the first year we were digging, as much as I'd like to think I could see the difference in the dirt, all I could see was walls of brown dirt. And I'd stand there and go, it still looks like brown dirt. Just looks like brown dirt. But you chase the big billies. So you're chasing this huge big ironstone. And there's sort of a break in the dirt. If you think if you go down underground caving, you'll see the different layers of ash and gravel and just different dirt from different events over the millions of years. So we've gotten to the way now that we know that we're looking for ochre, we're looking for ironstone, we're looking for basalt balls in the walls, and we just chase them.
Well, sapphire, of course. Oh, so sapphire is such a beautiful stone, that rich, rich blue. Must be quite exciting when you find something that's, you know, a really good sapphire.
Oh, it's very exciting because we put all the dirt up in the hopper, go upstairs, have smoke out, and then we put all that dirt through a trommel. So it's a big round tumbling machine that breaks it all up. All the fine material comes off. All the heavy material goes through a pulsator and is washed with water, which we recirculate. And the sapphires, because they're so heavy, they drop to the bottom of the trays, similar to what gold does when it goes through their trommels and pulsators. So it sits at the bottom, and then come about lunchtime when we've finished that process, we tip that part out and sieve it out onto a tray, and that's when it gets pretty exciting. Because sapphires will come in blue, yellow, green. We predominantly get blue, yellow, green sapphires, or a mixture in the area that we are.
Beautiful.
And then we get the zircons, which come from a real clear champagne colour right through to sort of the old DB beer bottle colour.
Oh, yes.
So they come out in all sorts of colours. And when they're wet and they're sitting amongst the ironstone and all the other stones, they're like broken glass and they're shining. And I'll tell you, it's very exciting when you pick up one, hold it up to the sun, and it's crystal clear and you know it's gem quality. It's a bit of a celebration moment.
Yes. And so have you got your money back on your investment?
Yeah. We've paid for our lifestyle, and we create a lifestyle. So we're sort of in the stage of your life. We're not about doing it as a money-making venture. We're doing it about our lifestyle. And we've created a great lifestyle from what we're doing, and we're putting away for our future lifestyle. So we're banking our stones, so to speak.
Yeah.
For the future, because they're never going to go off. They're never going to depreciate. They're like a gold as an asset. They go up year by year.
Of course.
So we find that we've made more in our life enjoyment and our stress levels reducing than we'd ever have made staying here working and just flogging ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's a great way of measuring it. And what about when you're under there? Do you get claustrophobic?
Yeah, no, we don't. And that's one thing that everybody says when they stand at the ladder holding on, they go, I can't go down there, I'm claustrophobic. And I'm like, well, it's 25 rungs. Go down, hang on to the ladder, and if you don't like it, just come back up. And every time anyone's got to the bottom, they've gone and just gone, oh, wow. Wow, because it's like a different world. It's very well lit up. We've got, we're off the grid. So everything we do is either via solar or running off a generator. So we're very mindful of what power we use. So everything downstairs now is LED lighting. So it's very peaceful and calm. And because we're not in a tight space, you know, it's a couple of arm widths across and it's way above our heads and it's arched, it's just like walking down your hallway in the home, except it's an archway, and we've got cushions down there to sit down, and we have our drink of water and a catch up partway through, and it's just really, it's really quiet and peaceful. It's like another world. So the claustrophobia doesn't kick in because there's nothing tight around you.
Well, it sounds ideal being able to spend half the year here and half the year there. So you're back home for the summer.
Back home for the summer, back working. So, Greg started cutting our own gemstones now. So he spends the summer now cutting. So we get our rough material, bring it back, and he'll cut them into beautiful gems. And I go and do back into business contracting, and I'll work from places from Kiwi Can Do, which is a MSD contract with clients, through to Casey Clinic that does appearance medicine. So, and Chamber of Commerce in between. So I have a really good balance of getting my fix for working in the corporate world, but not being tied to it, and then going over there and wearing shorts and a singlet and just chilling and having slushy time with the neighbours at 3 o'clock. And everybody there is such a strong sense of community that if you even look as though you're struggling doing something, you turn around and your neighbours are there.
Oh, that sounds...
there to help out.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic, Lynette. Thank you so much for telling us about it, and have a great summer, have a good Christmas, and thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much. Have a great one.
Yeah, you too. That's Lynette Bailey and her husband Greg Smith, who have that mine in Queensland.